This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, Texelly and Gunsilly. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 90.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jack, and you're listening to FM 107.9, The Beach.
I think you may be on too much cough syrup, but this is Tech, who is not sick. I'm actually at home playing the game Who's Your Daddy with my kids. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I should clarify. Now that I think about it, this is actually Gunn in Washington, D.C., and I'm very ill. A little bit out of it today.
While you're out of it, I'll describe the game I'm playing. It's absolutely hilarious. It's called Who's Your Daddy? And typically we play either the father of a child trying to keep the child alive, or you play the child who's trying to kill himself, drinking bleach, playing with outlets,
knives,
burying yourself in the pool in the backyard, hopping in the car, driving off. It's absolutely hilarious. The baby can take a the baby can take a key and start the car and drive off.
I actually didn't do that, but I almost.
Yeah, it's an absolute. I mean, it's a cheap like $5 game, and my kids and I have been laughing our heads off because it's basically a simulator of what it was like having children.
Really bad graphics, like it's got a lot of bugs.
Excuse me. Yes, I can only imagine. Caller, can I have you turn your radio down in the background?
Yeah, no, it's not going to work on this thing, man. There's just too much children in the back here.
Okay, all right. Well, the one mindless task I've been able to accomplish this week for the podcast is I wrote one article yesterday, which had a few weird.
I saw it. It was a pro. Let's not kill a whole section of people.
Yeah. I don't think we should. I don't personally like to do stuff with other guys like that. But I don't want to murder everyone on the planet who does. So I think it's bad that that's happening in some places. So that was my general consensus. And I really like
it's,
that
it's
America
a shame
is
that
the
that
world.
Is considered a controversial position. It's like not killing people should be a non-controversial.
Actually, now I'm gonna go outside.
And to the point that like we are supposed to be citizens of the globe now. That was kind of one of the promises of the Obama administration was that we were going to be citizens of the globe. We're going to be more tuned in to other countries. And we are so introverted and the fact that they're calling people in America who still think of binary sexual structures as the same as the Nazis and stuff like that is really ridiculous when the rest of the world, which we are all citizens of, are still killing gays. Like we really should realize that there really are still big civil rights issues going on, not to mention human trafficking and apostasy laws. Human trafficking is slavery. Like straight up slavery. And a lot of people go, no, only what happened with Amistad and to the blacks in America, that was slavery. Everything else can be ignored. No. Slavery is still a thing. It's a real thing. It happens to blacks, whites, Asians, Latin American people. They get just straight up thrown and sold into slavery. It's still a thing. So for us to act like in an Amerocentric way that only black people and white people exist, only America exists, and that's what we look at as civil rights issues is ridiculous. We need to have a bigger, broader view, and maybe we'll save some lives if we have a bigger, broader view.
All right.
A lot of people are afraid to say this because they're afraid it'll offend people on Facebook. They're afraid it'll offend people on Twitter. I'm not afraid of offending people on Facebook and Twitter. I'm hoping that people donate where money needs to go to Interpol and places that can actually do stuff to stop this, instead of just hearing what people on Facebook think about them. So, yeah. Let's continue drawing attention to real issues.
Well, there's a I'm blanking on the name of it. I'll have to look it up and put it in the show notes. But there is a charity that their whole job is to rescue people from human trafficking. They're talking about how you never pay to free the people because all you're doing is feeding the monster at that point.
That's another huge thing. What if people want to pay ransom and stuff like that? When you pay ransom, if you have ever gone overseas, you know that your dollar can go a long way. Well, that's the same with ransom. A person did not build a product. They did not make something that you want. They stole something from you that you want back, a human being. And when you pay money...
Maybe not even from you, but they... maybe not even from you, but they stole a person.
Yes. And when a government or a family spends money to get their loved one back or their citizen back, well, that money just goes to fund more terrorism, more horror for other families, more drugs to be given to children so that they could do horrible crimes in the name of whatever cartel or group started the whole process. This is not an issue that's easily solved, and it's not something you can just throw money at. It's something that the world needs to have their eyes on. And guess what? It's easier to say, hey, I heard a kid in North Carolina can't use the bathroom at the school that he wants to. Okay, all right, that's easier. That's easier to look at. That story is easier to look at. No one's getting killed. Somebody in high school is getting upset. But let's just look at that situation. It's easier to look at that, and if you disagree with me, I'm going to call you a name. And if I think something different, I'll call you a name, or you call me a name. You know, that's an easier situation to deal with. Let's not look at those scary citizens of the world issues. Let's only look at stuff stateside where no one really gets hurt.
Here's the key thing is it's one of those things where we should fundamentally rethink how we do a lot of the things we do with bathrooms, especially with middle school. I mean, terrible things happened in my middle school with me and in my locker rooms and with other guys. Stuff that, nowadays we could consider it a sex crime to do to somebody. We really could and should do much better as we,
I'm not going to disagree with that. And I personally have to say, I'm proud of America for getting to this point where we are discussing these issues.
It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We hit a point where we are able to have this problem because we've solved so many of our other problems.
Right, and that is the biggest thing. I do like that we're having this discussion, and if it leads to more privacy in showers and schools. Well, then, mazel tov. I'm glad we got there as a people. Because in no other setting is there giant open showers like that. Almost in all situations, there's like, even the most open stuff is like, remember MASH, where they would shower and you could see the people's heads, but they were still in boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how it became the norm to do what we do now. It just is insane.
Yeah, I think I've only been in one situation like that, and that was in the military. And it was just sort of weird, you know, because most people were normal about it, and you'd have one guy who'd be, like, looking at everybody, and you're like, dude. You know, he would always get yelled at. It was never the norm, thankfully, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's
like, what's your problem?
That limit that, but it's here's the other thing. Why in the world do we build stadiums and things like that where you have equal amounts of male and female restrooms? There should be way more women's restrooms than men's restrooms because there's always a line outside the women's restroom.
Supply and demand. Supply and demand.
Yeah. There is a libertarian solution to this, and it's make more.
Yeah. I like that we are having this discussion as a nation. It has some simple solutions, and as I pointed out, no one's really getting hurt. As a matter of fact, less people will get hurt, as you pointed out, because people are already getting hurt to a certain level, or have been, and we are getting to a point where we can discuss this issue. I like that. But calling it the civil rights movement of our time is silly, because we're not done with civil rights, real civil rights issues, like people getting murdered for speaking up and saying, hey, I have different political or religious beliefs than the mainstream, and they get murdered. That's blasphemy laws. Blasphemy laws are murder. The anti-gay executions in Saudi Arabia and Brunei and all around the Middle East, as I detailed in that thing, that is murder. So for us to say, oh, this is it for civil rights. If we, America, solve this issue, we solve civil rights.
Here's the thing, though. We can make America better. We can't make America great again. I don't know what pie in the sky moment we're harking back to. That's the irony. The time that he's wanting to harken back to is some objectively terrible time. Once again, speaking of Donald Trump. There's going to be a point in time. I think it was in the 1920s. I want to say when our murder rate was one of the highest it's ever been in our country. Where it's somewhere right now. It's like 2 out of 100,000 people are killed, murdered. And then it was something like 15 or 20. I mean, it was some massively much higher number. So
wow.
That'll be worth looking up. But yeah, I mean, we were terrible people in the '20s. We were twice as violent as we are now in the '70s. So making America great again, we're trying to harken back to a bygone time that doesn't exist. It never existed.
Right. Well, and then when you want to look at the rest of the world too, that in that situation. We're citizens of the planet then, goodness gracious. The rest of the world had some crummy situations going on as well. I wanted to jump to Twitter here a little bit. That's been one of the other mindless tasks I've been doing for the podcast. Is culling our follow back Twitter feed. Tech and I both have personal Twitter accounts. I have a couple on my own, and he has a couple that he runs by himself. But we have our shared Twitter account that is a follow back account. And if you listening to this want to get a instant follower on Twitter, all you got to do is follow at the podcast with an E at the end of it. I'm not necessarily plugging. I'm just telling people how it works. Because there's a lot of people out there who follow and then unfollow after they get the follow back, which means I'm going to go through and unfollow you too, because that's a jerk move. Also, people will name themselves follow back, hashtag I follow back, hashtag team follow back, and then they won't follow you.
That's false advertising there. That's team false advertising.
Exactly. So I kept showing these to Sophia.
And for some reason, it's Team Beaver. I don't understand why. But.
Excuse me. A lot of Justin Bieber, a lot of Zayn Malik, a bunch of people from other countries. I think I had about four Arabic Justin Biebers follow me at one point. So it's Justin Bieber, but then there's just a bunch of Arab writing, and then Bieber in English, and then more Arab writing.
He's got international appeal and those Canadian good looks.
Muhammad was following. I could have sworn Muhammad was following us, but he's not following us anymore. I just had to unfollow the Prophet Muhammad.
Peace be upon him.
peace be upon him and retweets upon him.
Crap, I derailed my thought. Oh, okay. Can I highlight what I thought was the dumbest news article in news eating itself?
I need to mention, though, to one last point on the fallback. Tech, please go through and make sure I'm still following, like, the creator of the internet or whoever the heck that was that you had me follow, because I've unfollowed like a couple thousand people to get us back down to our follow for follow. When you're on your own time, make sure that you make sure we're following the right people. But we are officially team follow back. So if anybody wants to follow us, we'll follow you back. All right. I'm sorry. All right. Go ahead.
The shared account is for to be on my follow. You A, have to follow me, and B, have to have done something in the tech industry.
Hey, Phil Hendry.
I don't know why, but I got a spate of, and my children are in the room, performers of negotiable affection followed me for a while there because I said something. I can't remember what, but I got a couple of those industry people, and I'm like, okay, I don't know what I said to bring this onslaught in, but sure.
I wanted to point out that Phil Hendry, one of my favorite talk show hosts of all time, and comedian. His last name is spelled H-E-N-D-R-I-E, Hendry. He has a verified account. Which that's huge news because for years he said he wasn't going to do that because it's just a way for them to get money out of him. You guys got a check mark. So I'm not going to get a check mark. That's just some way they're going to get money out of him. He's basically our Grandpa Don.
I wonder if it's like the name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Is something your agent, lines you up to do. It's advertising. It's marketing. It's like promoting your tweet, that kind of thing.
Right. Bobby Pushpin.
Alright, so let me rant about the stupidest, news story of the week. And it was news eating itself. It was, a bunch of the Republican echo chamber complaining that Facebook was driving down their ranking in Facebook's thing to prefer liberal stories.
Hey, that is not a non-news story.
No, but what my point is it is. It's absolutely goofy, though, because people were saying, it's just the popularity or whatever, it's just the ranking, and Facebook's claiming it doesn't have a bias. That's the part I was saying was completely goofy, is everything has a bias. And we were talking about that with the places we get our news from. I like getting news stories from Raw Story, but in the title, you can see the bias. It's right there. It's hilariously in the title of it. So even if you have, I don't understand why they are expecting Facebook to have a bias-free, and where the mandate would be that they would have a bias-free, editorial stance.
Okay, but the issue is they're editing other people's feeds and stuff. That's and once again, looking at this from a global perspective, that's a much bigger deal in other countries because, as we know, there are a lot of bad guys coming into other countries under the guise of being helpless refugees. And when they get into the other countries, they act up in really, really messed up ways, including sexually assaulting women. Now, when those stories got reported on Facebook, those stories got deleted in Germany. Facebook worked with Germany, with the German government, to suppress people's reports of sexual assault on women, which skyrocketed after Germany took a whole bunch of fake refugees in. And that's dark. That's some dark stuff.
Right. Here's the key thing, though. You and I are both not fans of censoring. Google at one point censored some of their stuff to get into China, but they eventually got to the point where like it's just not worth the effort to try to censor their stuff to be in and get in China. And so now Google is not part of China. And so they took the high roll and they definitely lost some money, because of China and not being in China. But it's the ethical high road to take to not censor your content to be in there. And so Facebook's taking the other stance. They're saying we will do what we need to do because we want to make the money. That's what it comes down to.
Well, and also they're saying our ethics are that all immigrants are innocent little babies and crippled old grandmothers. And any story that says that an immigrant is anything but a little baby and a crippled grandmother is hate speech, and we will have it destroyed. Because our view of morality trumps the truth.
Attempting to reconnect call.
Okay, sorry, we lost the phone call because my phone decided now was the time to reboot. Anyway, what I was saying is fundamentally, Facebook is uses kind of a dark magic called EdgeRank to determine what you see. People I'm very close to do not understand EdgeRank and absolutely kill their EdgeRank. Sorry, my kids are beating each other to death in the background, and I should probably break that up soon. But basically, if you do one or two posts a day and people engage with them, they click on it, they like it, they debate it, they now offer the angry face or cry face, any of those things increase your engagement and improve your edge rank. What you end up with Facebook, and my kids are really, they've got noodles, they're beating each other. What you end up with EdgeRank is you get a curated news feed that becomes an echo chamber in and of itself. If you like certain types of stories, you're going to see more of those types of stories. If you comment on certain types of stories that you don't necessarily like, you'll see way more of those.
So it becomes a complete echo chamber of the things you like and the things you're interested in, or the things that engage you, enrage you, and make you want to debate people. So that's therein lies part of the problem with expecting Facebook to be a neutral feed, is because already it's skewed in a direction anyway, no matter what, because you are part of the skewing. And then the other thing is that, yeah, they have where they, by choosing what you see, they have editorial control over what you're seeing. They're not changing people's content directly, but that what they are doing is keeping people from seeing that content. Now, what that leaves you with is you, if you have a dissenting opinion, you have to get your message out through the comments, through letting people know in your statuses, because those aren't going to be necessarily driven down by the edge rank if you know how to keep your edge rank high. And that's a conversation for a different day. But yeah, that's why I was kind of miffed at the story, because it was getting reported as, oh, Facebook's doing this terrible thing. And I'm like, no, Facebook's doing everything they said they were going to do. If they did anything else, then they'd be violating the trust that their investors have put in them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't – because, yeah, they have worked with governments to cull stories. And
but
these algorithms – these algorithms can be bought, and you know that.
Yeah, well, I am not denying that, and they're not. I don't believe that they're denying. I don't. As far as I know, they've never claimed a neutral editorial stance.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is maximize Twitter, profit for their investors. That's what their position is.
With Twitter, there was absolutely zero mention of Bernie Sanders after he whooped up on Clinton.
Like, yeah, and after Univision bought out Cracked and a couple of other media outlets. Sorry, my kids are really killing each other. After Univision, then the number of pro-Hillary stories started eking out. Not Cracked. They didn't buy Cracked. They bought The Onion. That was who they bought. Somebody else bought Cracked for a crazy amount of money, something like $180 some million. I mean, it was a lot of money. And Cracked is a small group, so somebody there really got some serious jingle. So,
All right. Well, I want to point out that the Nevada convention was a complete crap show, because if anyone has looked into what happened in Nevada with the voter tampering. Basically, there was real-time gerrymandering going on with the Democrat Party. They were so heavy-handed in their support of Hillary that they disenfranchised pretty much all the Bernie supporters. Not all of them. A huge number of them made it in to vote for Bernie, but a huge number of them. And wherever there was heavy support for Bernie Sanders, there was just hamstringing happening. So if you've looked into it, it's really hard to look into, because there's a whole bunch of amateur just garbage vertical video and stuff like that, but there's evidence that it happened, and it's hard to watch because the people recording the evidence of it didn't take it seriously enough to hold their phone like they were recording video, didn't have the class to talk seriously about it. It's very frustrating, but nonetheless, I feel really bad for those people. I feel really bad that it happened to them. And the reason why there was pretty much a riot at the Nevada or the Nevada Democrat convention is because they disenfranchised the people there. So that's Hillary.
Well,
Hillary supporters.
Part of the reason you and I have a podcast is because I felt absolutely so powerless after I found out my vote vanished the last election. I know which candidate I voted for. I voted for the Libertarian candidate. And according to the count, no, everybody voted for Romney, and not a single vote for the Libertarian candidate. Isn't that interesting? So you know, the fix was in, and so yeah, I the reason and you and I started this podcast is because I realized I don't have my vote doesn't count. So
and my vote for Mickey Mouse. My vote for Mickey Mouse in Prince George's County didn't go through either.
Interestingly, right now, if you look at the debate structure showing up, where they're like, if you have a thing that says Trump, Hillary, or any third party candidate, the third party candidate pulls it anywhere from 15 to 30%. And so what's going to happen is, though, mark my words, there will be no Libertarian candidate on any of the debate stages, because the polls that they use to determine who is polling high enough to be considered in the debate don't include Libertarian candidates. So there's currently a lawsuit because that's the case. But people are like, well, why in the world, you know, if the Libertarians are so good, why don't they show up in debate? Well, they can't. That's the way our legal system's set up. The fix is in.
Somehow Ross Perot can get up on a debate stage.
Well, that was 25 years ago.
Yeah.
30 years ago. How long ago? That was ancient history. But yeah.
Holy Christmas.
Anyway, I gotta wrap it up. My children have one of the two is victorious, and I have to make sure the other one's still alive.
All right, and let me just call back. Follow us on Twitter. We'll give you a follow back. Same for Vine and Instagram. It's all at @thepodcaste. We're praying for the Philippines. Also, I wanted to bring up China's aggression against the United States. They buzzed one of our airplanes. I think this might be in response to us doing joint operations with the Philippines.
We
scared them away from one of the islands they were trying to appropriate.
It's retaliation for us putting a 500% tariff on steel imports.
Wow.
Doesn't get everybody foaming at the mouth, excited because you know Trump's going to say something about vaginas tomorrow. But that's actually big news when you think about how many things are made out of steel that come in and out of China.
Did we actually do something with steel imports? There was actually a tariff, or
five hundred percent. That's why they're hacked off right now. So China is now undercutting that by giving a rebate on things that have to pay the tariff. I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
All right, awesome. And I'll try to put a link to us doing the joint operation with the Philippines to reclaim one of the islands out there that China's been trying to appropriate that's part of the Philippines. China's been being jerks to the Philippines, just if no one's following the news there.
Okay.
All right, bro. Good Wiretap Wednesday. Keep chatting it out, people.
Yes, definitely. All right, I think they have a bear now. I have to go. Goodbye.
Bye.